I get a lot of DMs and emails asking me about certain products and brands that I use in my daily life because I rave about them so much in my socials. And while I do encourage buying local when you can, sometimes you just can't. And that's where Amazon has come in so handy. I've created my Amazon storefront where I linked all my favorite products and brands and my go-to book recommendations. You can find the products I use in my business, like my Yeti mic for podcasting, the beauty products I swear by, like truly everyone needs a silk pillowcase for their skin and hair health, trust me on that, the body butter from Walita I just cannot get enough of, the frother that I use daily for my coffee, and so much more. I am constantly adding more to the storefront, so make sure you are always checking back in to see the products and brands that I love and use. Use the link in the show notes to follow along and shop all your beauty, wellness, business, fitness, and lifestyle needs. Welcome to Balance Your Life podcast. My name is Megan Farrell and I am the host of the show. This podcast is designed to inspire and empower you to start and maintain your own wellness journey so you can become the best version of yourself. Let's begin. Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Balance Your Life podcast. I am your host, Megan Farrell Gordon. If you're new to the show, thank you so much for tuning in. If you have been listening for a while, thank you so much for coming back week after week. I so appreciate you. Today on the podcast, this was a conversation that I truly, truly enjoyed because I feel like I resonated with it on so many levels. And it was also a podcast swap. So today on the podcast, you are getting Ali and Erica from Courageous Wellness. And then soon you will hear me on their podcast diving into human design, yoga, wellness, kind of all the things. It's a really great episode. I absolutely loved doing this with Ali and Erica. They are truly, truly incredible people and just such gems. So who are Ali French and Erica Stein? Ali and Erica are certified integrative nutrition health coaches, health and wellness experts, podcast hosts, and the founders of Courageous Wellness. The Courageous Wellness Collective is an extended community of like-minded individuals who have come together to learn, grow, thrive, and work towards improved personal and community wellness. They recognize the wellness industry can be highly inaccessible, and they are here to bridge the gap between individual journeys and community initiatives. Whether learning from the distinguished doctors, experts, and guests on their podcast, reading the helpful articles on their website, or working together one-on-one through their health coaching services, they are here to help you feel your best, love your body, and be equipped with the most up-to-date health and wellness knowledge for any stage of your health journey. After Ali experiencing a cancer diagnosis and recovery, and Erica experiencing a self-love journey that led to a sustained 50-pound weight loss experience, they created the Courageous Wellness Collective for real people to improve and advocate for their own sense of health and well-being. On this episode, we talk about Ali's cancer journey and healing recovery, Erica's self-love, body dysmorphia, and weight loss journey, and why they felt compelled to create their collective. We also discuss what integrative nutrition is and how it encompasses more than just food, the importance of blood sugar balancing to support your hormone health and gut health, tangible tips for incorporating healthy eating habits into your life without breaking the bank, and so much more. As always, please keep in mind that this episode is not meant to act as medical advice. You are always encouraged to be your own advocate and to do your own research. Before we dive into the episode, recently I've done a ton of readings for my clients on their human design chart. Everyone is hearing how accurate their chart is and how it can literally make the biggest changes and shifts in the best way possible in all areas of their lives. But diving into the world of human design can be confusing. I truly believe once you have the base of human design, though, it can make learning more about your unique chart so much more easeful, enjoyable, and clear. I get so many requests on learning more about the energy types and authorities within human design that I decided I would open up my Intro to Human Design workshop as a replay for purchase. So this was an online workshop that I did in the fall, and I was getting so many requests about having it available for replay afterwards, you know, and just for the people who were not able to join live, that I've opened it up so that you can purchase that replay. In this workshop, you will learn what human design is if you are not already familiar with the term. Learn about your specific energy type, so projector energy, manifestor, generator, manifesting generator, and reflector energy, and how knowing your energy type can benefit you in life and work. You will also learn about the strategy associated with your specific energy type. You will learn about your authority and how to make the most aligned decisions, and get an intro copy of your human design chart. So you absolutely need to know your exact birth time down to the minute, your birth day, and birth location for an accurate chart reading. For me, this is the basis of human design, knowing your energy type, your strategy and authority, and then everything else becomes so much more digestible and easier to implement into your life when you have that basis down. You can use the link in the show notes to access the replay, and if you want to dive in deeper into your chart one-on-one, make sure you use the link in the show notes to book your very own reading today, where I can go more in depth on your specific chart and give you a personalized chart reading. If you are ready to dive into today's episode with the founders of Courageous Wellness, please welcome Ali and Erica to the Balance Your Life podcast. Welcome to the show, Ali and Erica. I'm so excited to have both of you on.
Thank you for having us. We're excited to be here.
I would love to know if you guys can give a little bit of context of who you are and where in the world you are both joining me from today.
Yes. Well, I guess I'll go first. I'm Allie, and I'm one half of Courageous Wellness, and Erica's the other half. So I guess I'll start with myself. I am joining you from Los Angeles, California, which is a very big place. We're both based in LA, but Erica and I are kind of on opposite sides. And yeah, we have this beautiful company and also a podcast as well called Courageous Wellness. And we're both integrative nutrition health coaches with focuses on hormone health on my side. And Erica, I guess I'm talking for you, but gut health on your side. So yeah, that's a little bit about me, and I can pass it over to her to finish that off.
Yeah. I mean, our podcast was born in 2018, so about 4 years ago, and our health coaching company started in 2020. So just a couple years after that. And we really feel passionate about sharing stories in wellness. And we have a very large umbrella of what that encompasses: physical, emotional, spiritual, financial, you know, friendship. Wellness is so much more than just, you know, your green juice and your hikes. We also are very passionate about community wellness as well. And so with that, we really started the podcast a little bit less alone, but from there, it really grew into helping individuals advocate for their own health and wellness. And we talk about so many different topics. We don't always agree with the guests who come on our show, but we hope that by hearing different stories, by learning about different things, everyone who listens to an episode will leave empowered to make the best choices for their own health and wellness, and hopefully support their community wellness as well.
I love all of that so much. And I would love to back up right even to the beginning. And have you both always been into health and wellness? Is this something that just kind of came to fruition for you guys? Like, what was the journey like for you?
Yeah, I would say a little bit yes, and I've not always been a health nut. I wouldn't even say I'm a health nut now. I'm just like really into this work that we do. But I actually have a background in the performing arts. So I am still, when times are a little bit more open than they have been the last couple of years, a live performer, especially in musical theater. And I've lived around the world and basically made my living that way. So it was a very physical job. And so I had to take care of my body in a way that I knew would give me sustained energy. So on an individual level, I've always been interested in it. I've always kind of experimented with food and the way it made me feel. And I would tweak certain things and the way I ate to fuel myself as a performer, because it really made a huge difference. So I was always interested in it for myself. But it was when I was diagnosed with a rare tumor, cancerous tumor on my back when I was 29, I had to really dive into my own health journey in a different way. And that affected the way I ate, especially in the healing process. I was craving new things, the way I listened to my body, the way I had to slow down in a lot of ways. And so it kind of transformed both physically and emotionally my relationship with my own health. And so that was a while ago. That was like 2015. And I connected with Erica, and I'll let her tell you the second part of it and then kind of like how we came together in this and how our interests grew and our education grew. But I connected with her while reading a book. I was actually living in Tokyo at the time, and she saw on Instagram that I, because we had been friends through our Buddhist practice, she had seen that I was reading this. She said, you know, she like messaged me and she's like, "Oh my gosh, I'm reading this." And we started communicating about it and realized that like our friendship had this in common that we weren't really aware of before. This sort of theme in common. And so that's how we sort of reconnected and connected in a deeper way about our kind of love of taking care of ourselves. And Erica, I guess I can hand it to you to tell part two of that story.
Yeah, I'll tell part two and share a little bit about my background. And to be honest, like if you told me a decade ago I'd be working in health and wellness, it was not something that I would have predicted for myself. But of course, now looking back, I see all of these little strings and connectors where I do really feel like it's always been my mission and what I've been leading to. But I'm going to go a little further back. So I was born, I also live in Los Angeles. I was born and raised here. But I grew up in a very affluent beach community. I grew up in Malibu, California. But during that time, my parents went through some really hard financial times, among other things. And we ended up being food insecure. So I grew up food insecure in this very affluent community. And I was on free lunch program at school and a lot of different things. But basically, I'm like, how do I introduce this and bring it all together? But basically, so it's interesting now, again, like the strings of working in health and wellness and food, because I go back to that now and I'm like, oh, this is where it really started. But of course, you know, my parents could really only afford, you know, again, I was on free lunch program at school. It was like dollar menu McDonald's after school to feed us. My mom was working two jobs. It was a lot. And so again, like I didn't really have an interest in health and wellness. I just kind of grew up where it was like food isn't always accessible, but I didn't connect it at the time. And if anything, my introduction to health and wellness was definitely like early 2000s diet culture of it all, because of course, since those were my health habits and upbringing due to the financial situation of my parents and the situation we were going through, I started carrying around a little bit of extra weight. And that'll lead me to now my 20s. And I was also like Allie working in the entertainment industry behind the scenes. I produced commercials, I worked on TV shows, all of that. And I started blaming what wasn't working in my life for the way my body was, you know, which I think is very common for a lot of young women. It's like, if I was X, in my case, it was, if I was thinner, I would have X, Y, and Z. And I quickly learned that that wasn't the case at all, right? Like it honestly, none of that matters. Happiness is absolutely determined by how you feel on the inside. And so again, it wasn't my journey at that point, still wasn't about health, wellness, or nutrition. It was really about learning to love and value myself as I was. So in my early 20s, I went through this really profound self-love journey where at my largest, heaviest weight, I just fully accepted and loved myself as I was and realized that I was deserving and could have everything I ever dreamed of in my largest body. And that's exactly what happened. Like I said, I was working on two television shows at CBS, and I met the man who was going to be my husband. He was my boyfriend at the time, you know, all in my largest body. And I was so happy. And so again, that wasn't really like in the wider umbrella of wellness. It definitely is a wellness journey, but it wasn't into nutrition and health. But from that point, I started moving my body because I enjoyed it. I found a fitness class that I really liked and I went to with a few of my girlfriends. And again, I just started moving my body intuitively. I didn't really change the way I ate, and I shed this excess weight that I had been holding onto through that journey. But what came after that is what really led me personally into, I guess, like more traditional health and wellness, because I lost this weight and then I was plagued with body dysmorphia. I was also experiencing terrible GERD symptoms. I had terrible digestive issues. And so I started diving a little bit deeper into, okay, what can I do to really help myself here? And so that's when I started getting into health and wellness. I started listening to a ton of podcasts. I started reading a bunch of books. And again, that led me into Allie's DMs. I was so excited when I saw that Allie was interested in wellness, because none of my friends really were. And so, yeah. So now flash forward, we're back into 2018. I was in my late 20s now, and Allie came back from Tokyo, and I invited her to go to a workout class with me, and we just started talking about our interests. And what's interesting there is, you know, I had known Allie had had cancer because we had been friends, as Allie mentioned, through our Buddhist community, but I didn't really know the intricacies about it. And similarly, Allie met me at the end of 2014. So after I had lost the majority of my weight. And so she didn't know anything about my journey with food insecurity, with body dysmorphia, with weight loss. You know, she didn't know I had a weight loss journey. She didn't know anything about that. So, or a self-love journey for that matter, because that's what it really was. So we started sharing these stories, and that's when, again, the inception of, we realized the power of storytelling, and we wanted to create this platform where other people could also be inspired to share their own stories and, yeah, feel a little less alone. And Courageous Wellness was really born from there.
I love what both of you are doing so much. And I love that you say it's this like umbrella of wellness, because sometimes there are people who focus strictly on nutrition. There are other people who focus strictly on movement. And I've always been of the mindset on my own journey that wellness is like, it's a bunch of everything that we do. It's not just one particular thing. And I have two separate questions for both of you. Allie, I'm curious for you. I'll say my questions first, and then I'll get you both maybe to dive into them a little bit more. But Allie, for you, getting a cancer diagnosis is absolutely terrifying. And I would love to know if you would be willing to talk a little bit more about that and maybe what that first step for you was into your healing journey. You know, did you get a little bit more into noticing what you were eating, or was it moving your body? You know, some people get a diagnosis like that and it's like, that's it, it's game over. You know, I had a good run. Like I'm not going anywhere from here. Like, this is it. You took a different approach. And then with Erica, I would love to know, you said you found self-love first before you kind of went on this journey. And I feel like for a lot of people, the script is flipped where they go, I'll find self-love when I've lost the weight, when I've have the body of my dreams, when I get the man of my dreams. So I would love to know if you could even talk about or give tangible tips on like what that self-love journey was for you. Were you telling yourself affirmations? Were you just, you know, looking at yourself in the mirror and giving yourself compliments? Like, what did that look like?
Yeah, great questions. So as far as, yes, getting a cancer diagnosis is scary. I also think, you know, nobody really ever expects it. I was a healthy 29-year-old, so I really didn't expect it. I had a type that was, when it was discovered, it was non-aggressive. So fortunately, I did have three surgeries. I had to have three back surgeries in order to remove all of it. Fortunately for me, I was at the phase where I didn't have to do chemotherapy or radiation. So that was very fortunate because the healing process, while yes, I was healing from major surgery, was not, we all know people in our lives, and we also have guests on all the time who talk about the, just like the intensity, the physical and the emotional intensity of going through treatment in a different way. And so I just wanted to be clear about that, that like, yes, I do have a healing journey, and I did, and I was taken out of life for a little while, but fortunately for me, I also didn't have the intensity of the other types of treatment. That being said, yes, it was strange. It was scary. I want to share a little bit about, I guess, the diagnosis first, because I was performing at the time, and I had seen an area of my back that looked bruised, but it wasn't going away. And I actually had a friend bring it to my attention who was doing the show with, and just like wasn't, you know, a bruise, it eventually kind of heals in a few weeks. And this is like months that it hadn't been going away. So I had actually gotten a really bad like winter bug, and I went to the doctor, and my doctor wasn't in. So I went to a different doctor in the practice, and I asked him to take a look at also what was going on in my back while I was in. And he said, "Oh, it's nothing. Don't worry about it. It's probably just like a cyst or something." But it wasn't really raised in that way. And I just kind of felt like that was a strange dismissal of it. So I stuck with it. I brought it back to my regular doctor, my general physician, who I loved, and she's wonderful. And she's like, "I don't know what this is, but we're going to keep an eye on it." And she did. She took detailed notes. And then the next time I went in, I still had these broken blood vessels on my back that were showing up in my skin. And then she sent me for a biopsy to actually dermatology because it was showing up on my skin. And the dermatologist was like, "I have no idea what this is. Let's biopsy it." Then I got the cancer diagnosis, and the type of tumor starts in the skin, but it grows down. So it wasn't a traditional skin cancer either. So fortunately we caught it before it had touched my muscle tissue. It had just gone through my fascia. And then I got moved to oncology. And yes, it's this like very intense experience. But the reason I bring that up is because that was the beginning of learning to listen to my body and myself in a way that I hadn't before. Had I not stuck with it with my doctor or brought it to her, I might have gotten a much later diagnosis. And it can, this type of cancer can become very aggressive, but it's just slow growing in the beginning. So fortunately, we caught it in that sort of like earlier phase. So that was one, that was like the first sort of like, "Hey, Allie, your intuition is telling you something, and it's different than what the people in your environment are telling you. Stick with it." Got the diagnosis, got the surgeries, needed a few of them. And then at this time I had actually been a vegetarian for 4 years, which works for wonderfully for a lot of people, but when I was healing and I had 16 staples across my back, I was craving meat like I had never craved anything before in my life, red meat. So this is like a funny story the way I tell it. But again, I had to listen to myself and my body in a way that I hadn't, and not only hadn't listened to, but like hadn't eaten a piece of red meat in 4 years. So my lifestyle hadn't supported this like craving my body was screaming at me for. So I went and I got some well-sourced beef. And I was like, "This is going to go one of two ways. I'm going to get super sick or I'm going to feel great." I actually felt great. And it really helped me, like also another level of like, this is what my body needs right now. It might not need it forever. It might not have needed it yesterday, but it needs it right now. And I'm going to learn to listen to that. And so there was this like, yes, there was this kind of scary aspect and emotionally taxing aspect of having to just like sit and stop and like focus on healing and like be out of work and all leave jobs. Like I had to leave a job that I loved because I was a performer. I couldn't actually do the job when I was healing and be forced to sort of like sit down. Also be forced to receive like a lot of love in my life, which was like a big lesson in it all, which was wonderful, but I didn't realize I had had a hard time with that prior to this experience. And then listening, the beautiful part of it was being able to listen to my body in a new way. And so I pretty immediately got these like little lessons while I was experiencing it. And so yes, as you said, there are these like very kind of scary moments that happen. And fortunately for me, I felt very protected in the timing of it all. Like as far as I knew it wasn't life threatening in that moment. Is it still scary to hear the C word? Absolutely. And it forced me to deal with certain things emotionally that I hadn't. And it also taught me to listen in a way that I hadn't before. So that spawned that kind of like desire and curiosity too. I think that was another thing. There was no like explanation for this diagnosis. They weren't like, no, it's not like, oh, too much sun, or it's not like you smoke too many cigarettes. I'm not a smoker, but I'm just giving examples of things that we know are intrinsically linked to certain types of cancers. This was like, we don't know what causes this kind. It's 1 in 1 million people get this diagnosis. You just happen to be one of them. I was like, okay, here we go. So yes, it's scary. And I now in hindsight feel so grateful for the experience because it wouldn't have led me to this work that I absolutely love or the curiosity to learn more about myself. Sorry, that's a long-winded answer, but.
No, I love it. Thank you so much for talking about that. It's one of those stories that when people go through like a tragedy, or I'm really struggling with that word today. I said that on it took me like 3 times to say it correctly in another podcast interview. Tragedy or a diagnosis. And I think it helps give people kind of perspective because when they hear the word, you know, cancer or disease or just something really bad happening in their life, it helps them to relate to a story or at least get hope that there's, you know, I have this too. Okay, what did this girl do? And maybe I can start implementing it into my life so that my world can also change and that I can get healthier and start the healing process. So thank you very much for being very vulnerable with your story. And then Erica, if you wouldn't mind talking a little bit about like what your self-love journey looked like for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. As I mentioned, you know, because of the way I had grown up and my parents only went through, we were food insecure from probably when I was age maybe 11 to like 14. So it wasn't very long, but again, it was during this, you know, this time in my life where food habits were set. And again, like extra weight was put on my body. And prior to 2012, when the self-love journey began, I was 22 or 23 in 2012. I think I was 23 when this started, but prior to that, you know, I had always like I still like blaming my body for what wasn't working was something I did on and off. And so I'd go to the gym for 2 weeks really hard. I'd eat what I perceived to be healthy, but it really would only last for like 2 weeks. And then I would kind of go back to my normal habits. And so 2012 was this turning point because I was post-grad now. I was working, I was dating, and I wasn't where I wanted to be or thought I needed to be. And 2012 is very different. This was a decade ago now. Wow, that's crazy. Because it's 2022, but you know, it wasn't what it is today, right? Like we are so lucky to have so much like body positivity and self-love. Like I think the internet can be a really weird place, but I think I wish I had that in 2012 and I didn't. So it was just me on my own. And yeah, I blamed my body for what wasn't working in my life. And the turning point really came. I had gone on a bad date after like a couple of bad dates, but this one bad date really affected me. And as we've kind of touched on, Allie and I met through a Buddhist practice. I grew up in a Buddhist family. My parents have been practicing Buddhism for 40 years. And so, and I bring that up because it comes into play here when you mentioned like affirmations, what I was doing. So after this bad date, I called someone on the phone that I practiced Buddhism with, who I didn't even know very well. Like we just practiced together. I think she was 20 years older than me, right? Like she was just someone I knew through Buddhism. And anyway, I don't remember if I called her or she called me at this particularly low moment, but either way, we're on the phone together. And I just was complaining about my life and this date that I had gone on. And I was just telling this story, literally saying like, if I looked different, he would have called me back. If I was thinner, he would have called me back. Like I was literally saying all of this to her on the phone. And she just stopped me right then and there. And she said, Erica, this has nothing to do with the way you look. You know, she was like, you don't value your life. And I was like, wow, right? She had so much compassion for my life to say that to me. And she said some other things along the same lines, right? She was like, you do not value your life. And she was like, you really need to, we chant in our Buddhist practice. We do a chant. And she was like, you need to chant to really treasure yourself and kind of see yourself the way this Buddhism teaches to see yourself, right? Which is the Buddhism we practice is really, we don't have priests, we don't have clergy, we don't like pray to a statue. It's really about, you know, the Buddha lives in you. You are the Buddha, right? Like, and we chant these words, we chant Nam-myoho Renge Kyo, and we practice with this organization called the SGI, which is again, a lay Buddhist organization, but we chant these words to essentially bring out that Buddha that lives inside of us, that just exists as we are, right? Doesn't matter your weight, your financial status, your job, none of it matters. You are a Buddha. You are perfect as you are. You would not have been born if you didn't have a mission to fulfill. Spark Notes version. So she was basically like, you need to go and like chant to treasure yourself and see yourself that way. And it really hit me. I don't know if it was just like, that was my breaking point or what it was, but like, or maybe just because I didn't know her, like I heard it, like I really heard it. And so that's exactly what I did. I went home and I wrote on a hot pink sticky note and I wrote, you are a treasure and you are precious. And I put that on the Buddhist altar I chanted to. And I just started chanting that way every single day. And my entire life completely transformed from that point. Like I said, nothing physical transformed. It was my mind that transformed, right? Like I started valuing and treasuring myself as I was. And like I said, my whole life transformed. I was working on two TV shows. I met, you know, my husband now is like, he's the absolute best good, good man. And, you know, again, I met him at my largest weight and, he's so sweet. Like even, you know, cause we all have bad days. If I have a bad day and I'm like, I don't feel good today. I don't feel like I look pretty, whatever. Like we all do. He'll be like, you've always been so pretty. I love you. Like he's literally the sweetest man alive. And, but again, so it wasn't, I fully was able to have like everything I ever wanted at my largest weight. And so, I guess to answer your question, I did chant and do those like affirmations of like, you are a treasure, you are precious, like, you know, you are worthy as you are. And I think what's great now is the internet really supports that, right? Like, so I'm so like, now you can really find places on the internet that can support that. But yeah, at the time it was just me alone and yeah, but it was pretty powerful. And from there, again, I just started moving my body for the first time in my life. I was a pretty sedentary person, not like sedentary. That's like, but you know, I wasn't an athlete. Like I said, I would just go to the gym 2 weeks hard. And then I didn't have like any sort of movement routine, but I just started moving my body because I loved it. Like I fell in love with boutique fitness. I fell in love with going to workout classes with my friends. I only went like 2 days a week. That's why I wasn't trying to lose weight. I was just moving my body because I enjoyed it to maybe 3 days a week. And the weight fell off without me even trying or noticing it. So I'm a firm believer now too. And I know it can be hard sometimes to hear. It's like, if you come from a place of love and you move your body and you fuel your body from a place of love, if you have weight to lose, you'll probably lose weight. And if you have weight to gain, you'll probably gain weight. And, but you'll be at where your body wants to be in a happy place. And I think for me, right, like in my earlier diet culture days, when I would go hard at the gym for 2 weeks, I thought, oh, well, like that's a size two. Like that's like, that was like my vision of me. And it's not like for me, like I am happy and healthy at like about like my happiest is like a size 10 most of the time, you know, like give or take, I've been an eight, I've been smaller, but like a 10 is pretty much where my body wants to stay. And I'm very happy there. So
thank you for being so vulnerable and sharing your story as well. And I want to point out, I feel like I'm a combo of both of you, because for me, I also had a very scary, potentially cancer diagnosis. And it was a boyfriend and I breaking up that had me change like my mindset of like, F this sucks. I want it to get better. So I feel like we're like a little triangle of wellnessy over here. I would love to dive a little bit more into, you're both integrative nutrition health coaches. I would love to know if you could explain a little bit more of what that is and when nutrition played a role in your health journey. For me personally, it's the area that I think I say I struggle with the most, although I struggle with what my perception of nutrition is, because you have people who are vegan and they do that. They have people who are vegetarian and they do that. You have people who count macros and micros. And I'm just like, I just kind of like eat intuitively, you know, could my nutrition be better? Of course it could be, but I eat pretty well. But so what does integrative nutrition mean? And how did that role begin to unfold for both of you?
Yeah. That's a great question. And so as Erica and I said, we started the podcast first. And as we started the podcast as this like passion, creative passion project, and started interviewing all these people, our personal interests continued to grow, and the show and our company began to grow. And so we decided, because of our own interests in this space and our desires for creating even more resources within the umbrella of Courageous Wellness, to go back to school. And so we went back to school, got certified in integrative nutrition. I'm going to touch on what that actually means in just a second. And then we both then after that went on to do advanced coursework in hormone health and gut health respectively, which are also both intricately linked, which we can also touch on. But as far as integrative nutrition, yes, the way we approach nutrition and the way our sort of education around nutrition is approached or was approached is that it's not just about the food. Yes, food is a vital, important thing. We all need to keep us alive. And there are so many ways that food can be truly used as medicine. And that might look different for each person. So integrative nutrition takes into account bio-individuality, which means that we are all slightly bio-individual, right? We might all have slightly different needs from a nutrition standpoint. And that also we have aspects of our life that we call primary nutrition. So there's primary nutrition and there's secondary nutrition. Secondary nutrition is the food. Primary nutrition are the other aspects of our life. And I think Erica's story really touches well on this too, where it's like, what do our relationships look like? What does our career look like? How do we feel that we have a sense of connection to self and spirituality, or whatever that means for us? Do we have a connection to our physical body and movement? You know, so what are our social circles look like? So it takes into account all these aspects of life and looks at them as nutrients in addition to the food on our plate. Because we might change the food on our plate, but if we're not dealing with the stress in our life, it might not make a difference, to be honest, as far as our overall health experience goes. So that's where you get the integrative nutrition. It's combining all aspects of life. It's really a holistic approach to nutrition. And so yeah, I guess that answers the integrative nutrition question. And then as far as our work goes, you know, I'll let Erica talk on her because she has deep passion about gut health, as do I. But, you know, part of our own journeys with understanding, because I've gone through other physical health things as well that are, you know, as you know, like physical health diagnoses or health issues can be incredibly stressful when we're not feeling our best. And yet, stress can contribute to a lot of them. So for me, the more I really started to understand my body, understand how food works with my body, understand how stress management works in my body and might manifest in different ways, I felt more and more empowered in how to get myself into a place of homeostasis. Like the body knows what to do. And oftentimes we have, you know, we have so many stressors. We have, in addition to like the emotional or physical, or, you know, like mental stress that we deal with from a society or even just like a day to day in our families or workplaces, we have things like air pollution, and we have things like, you know, I mean, environmental stuff that we're dealing with, chemicals. I mean, our bodies are constantly being exposed to stressors. And if we can do a few things just to help support it, try to get back into a state of balance, like that's what it's always striving to be. So even if we're having an immune response, even if we're having a deep systemic inflammation, it's our body's attempt to try to get back into homeostasis. Sometimes with the amount of stress we have, whether it's air pollution or work stress or, you know, raising children or a global pandemic, the list goes on, you know, we just get out of whack and it's too much. And then, and that's how dis-ease happens. So yeah, so we try to implement skills with our clients and for ourselves in ways that people can just further support their health. And oftentimes food is a really important tool in that. But yeah, Erica, do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I think, you know, my journey into getting into nutrition, and I think that's why like Allie and I love food. We are a very food positive duo. And when we work with people, we never want to remove foods people love, right? Or that they, because food is emotional, whether or not you're like, food is emotional. We have cultural ties to the food that we eat. And so we never want to like remove things people love. But again, like, learning about food and nutrition, I think education is really empowering and understanding what food does to our body. And so like my personal journey with nutrition really started is, you know, when I lost the weight, it's so interesting. Like I said, I just started moving my body. I wasn't weighing myself. I realized I had lost all this weight when I put on a jacket. Like I had to work an event and I had to wear this specific jacket. And it was probably 8 months into me moving my body and I was swimming in it. And that like literally that's when I realized I had lost weight. I know that must sound crazy. Like I knew I was buying different clothes. Like my clothes were bigger on me, but that was the first time I had really seen how much weight I had lost. And with that came a lot of body dysmorphia that I then started having to unpack because I just didn't see myself, and nutrition started coming into play because all of a sudden during, it's so interesting. I lost weight and all of a sudden I started having all this digestive issues. And I was diagnosed with GERD, which I have since found out you get diagnosed with GERD when they honestly don't know what's going on. So it's kind of like this all encompassing diagnosis. And they didn't even tell me how to deal with it, to be honest. Fortunately, they didn't give me a pill. Unfortunately, they weren't like, well, here's a list of foods that may be calling it. They didn't do anything. They were just like, oh, you just have a little GERD. So I just started wanting to know more, right? Like I had this interest in being like, well, how do I deal with this? How do I make this go away? How do I feel better? Because I just didn't feel very good. And, again, I started diving into different books and Googling things on the internet. And all of a sudden, I found this book called The Microbiome Diet. And it says diet, but it has nothing to do with it's, you know, I've since learned all these books that say diet, they just, it's to sell them, but they're just really interesting nutrition books. So don't ever be afraid to pick up a book because it says diet. It's just, I think the publishers forced them to have it on there. But The Microbiome Diet was the first book that really opened my eyes to how incredible our bodies are. And I think this is what changed my relationship with food. And I think really led me down the road of I wanna work with people in nutrition. But yeah, basically learning about our gut and the gut microbiome is so fascinating because for anybody who isn't, I know gut health is really trendy, but it's actually pretty incredible. We have trillions of bacteria that live inside of our gut. And basically these microbes determine everything about us. Everything. They determine the way we're craving food. They determine they support our immune system. They can even impact our depression, anxiety, everything. Like it all starts in our gut. 90% of our serotonin is created in our gut. And yes, food intolerances. If we have like gut dysbiosis, if our guts are out of whack, they could be leading to things like GERD or IBS or, you know, whatever, anything basically that we're dealing with. And what I also thought was incredible, because I am a little woo, like I said, I grew up Buddhist and I'm from LA after all. So, but what I think is incredible and I hope other people think is amazing is like all of these microbes and every cell in our bodies just want us to survive and thrive. That's all they want us to do. Like we have this whole ecosystem inside of us that just wants us to like live and be healthy. Like they love us. They're like, we're like, they just want to keep us alive. And so I was like, wow, I want to feed these microbes so that they can best support me. And that completely transformed my relationship with food. And it doesn't have to take very long. We can start transforming our gut health in just 3 days. And once we have a healthy, thriving gut ecosystem, we can actually enjoy most of the foods that we think are bad foods, right? Like you can have some sugar, you can have the cookie, you can enjoy whatever it is that you enjoy that might be perceived as like unhealthy foods. If you have a really strong base, it's not going to mess up your gut if you occasionally eat them, right? So that all felt very empowering to me and led me down a deeper road. And since then, Allie and I have also developed, we're very, again, like Allie said, hormone health and gut health are very connected. And the way to eat to support your gut and your hormones, a lot of this has to do with blood sugar balancing. So Allie and I are very passionate about blood sugar balancing, and we really work to help individuals create a plate that they love, but that can really help balance their blood sugar and support their gut and hormone health. So that's a little bit about how I got personally interested in nutrition, was just trying to heal my own GERD, deal with my own body dysmorphia, which really came from learning how to fuel myself. And gut health to me is just, it's so empowering. And and we love food. So we love food. So Allie,
I was just going to say one thing that you mentioned too, before we both got into this, was the confusion about like all the different trendy ways to eat out there and the way like you should be eating vegan, you should be eating paleo, you should be eating keto, you should be eating like whatever, all the sort of like definitions of new sort of ways to kind of like, a lot of it is like old diet culture in a new bow, right? And there are ways that like you can be fully plant-based and support your blood sugar and your gut. You can eat like paleo, maybe a higher protein, higher fat, lower carbohydrate diet, and support your blood sugar and your microbiome. There are ways to, if you're like, oh, I like to be plant-based and it's ethically important to me or whatever it might be. There are ways to eat, that we can do this kind of in anybody's sort of criteria is what works for them. And that's where that bio-individuality comes in. So as long as we're dealing for the most part with whole foods, we can talk about, you know, how to source if you have a lot of, you know, animal products in your diet, like maybe the best way to source those and also to make sure you're getting enough fiber. And then, or if you're eating fully plant-based, okay, let's make sure that we're combining foods to get enough complete protein in your diet, and understanding that. So there are ways to do this regardless of how you like to eat. And I think that's what's really cool is that we don't need to get bogged down with like, this is the right way or this is the right way or this is the right way. If you understand certain basic principles that Eric and I work with, you can kind of eat in the way that you prefer, whether that fits into a specific sort of like definition of a certain kind of diet or not.
I love that you brought that up because that was one of the things I was going to mention is this idea of like integrative nutrition. It's never sat right with me when people preach raw vegan diet or the keto diet. And I'm like, in my head, I've always been like, well, are you female? Are you male? Are you short? Are you tall? Are you, what's your weight? I just feel like there's so much more to it than just following what somebody is telling you to eat. Cause as we all know, like I know plenty of vegan and vegetarians that are super unhealthy. And I also know people who eat totally carnivore and are also super unhealthy. It's like, where do you find that balance of, you know, eating things that are really good for you, but also just like, you know, what is your ancestral culture like? Like, are you someone who's okay with some more carbs? Like if you're from the, you know, Eastern European, like if I'm not mistaken, I believe ancestral wise, they tended to have a little bit more carbs because of the seasons that they experience. Whereas somebody who's, you know, from the Caribbean, maybe they tend to do a little bit better with fruits because that's what they're culturally kind of used to. So one thing that you had mentioned that I would love to talk on is this idea of blood sugar balance. What do you mean when you say that? And I can completely appreciate it would be different for people who follow different, you know, lifestyle, nutrition. I hate using the word diet, but diet. But what does that look like? Is it a certain amount of food that somebody's eating? Is it leaving behind something? Like, what does that look like?
That's a great question. And we'll talk about it in like super basic terms today. And if anybody has any more questions about it, they can feel free to reach out to us because we do events about it. We love it. We can also recommend some resources, great reading material. So the reason I'm just going to talk real quick about why blood sugar balance is important. There's like the immediate why it's important today. And then there's the long term why it's important for life. So today, if we learn how to balance our blood sugar today, we're going to avoid energy spikes and major crashes. Like everybody I'm sure listening has at some point had like that afternoon intense dip after lunch where you literally want to take a nap or you can't focus at all. So when we learn how to balance our blood sugar, which I'll get into in just a sec today, we can avoid these spikes and crashes in energy. We can create sustained energy throughout the day. We can create satiety, which is being full, between meals. So this meal that I'm going to have for breakfast will keep me full and energized until it's time to eat at lunch, which ultimately actually, it's not about how much per se that we're eating. I mean, sometimes it is. Sometimes people don't eat enough, but it's about when we create the right circumstances for a meal, we will naturally feel full so that we're not going to overeat because we're giving our body what it needs for satiety until it's time to eat again, which our body will then give us the cue, the hunger cue. Again, then it'll get us through that like intense dip in the afternoon. It will also support a good night's sleep, not waking up in the middle of the night necessarily, which then in turn supports the next day's energy. So all of these things, including, I would say the most immediate effects you're going to feel from blood sugar balance is sustained energy and satiety, feeling full from your food. So that's today. That's the reason why it's important today. The reason it's important long-term is because there's more and more science. Well, first of all, chronic illness, including diabetes, type 2, heart disease, even diseases like dementia and Alzheimer's are now linked to this. Our blood sugar, our glucose essentially spikes and valleys and crashes long-term can create metabolic disorders, which can lead to intense inflammation in the body, which can lead to diabetes type 2, heart disease, even Alzheimer's. Now there's links, they're calling it diabetes type 3. So this is an incredibly powerful tool for long-term health, longevity, for many, many, many different types of chronic illnesses that we are like dealing with more than ever. 88%, I just read this statistic, 88% of Americans are metabolically unhealthy. So think about even like just like your quality of life long-term, not to mention your longevity. And it is so powerful to understand that blood sugar, like regulating our energy levels today, can help with that long-term and what the effects over maybe 20, 40, 60 years of unregulated blood sugar can do. So I will tell you the basic sort of formula for creating a blood sugar balanced meal. And again, we can talk in more detail if anybody has interests in this, they can listen. We've done episodes on this, but Erica and I always talk about having quality protein, quality, high quality, healthy fat, and fiber in every meal. That's the magic. Protein, fat, and fiber is the magic combination. You can play around with, you know, portions, but those three things are kind of like the, it's like the magic equation for creating a meal or a snack that will give you satiety and not spike that blood sugar. So that energy curve lasts longer. Erica, do you want to add on to that?
Yeah, I was just going to say, we just did too. I don't know when this is going to air, but if you can link it in your show notes as well, or you can find it on our platform, we just did a whole episode on blood sugar balance. And we give like really specific like meal ideas, plates, we go even deeper into this. But a formula that we really created, like Ali said, is the PFF plus, which is, as Ali said, like, again, you can apply this to anything, right? So if you want a sandwich or like a cheeseburger, it's, you know, whatever. It could be like, think of a food you want to eat, or a salad, right? Like so many people don't eat enough when they eat salad. So I actually think salad's a great example, but whatever it is, do you have a protein? Do you have a healthy fat? Do you have a fiber? And then we added the plus because that plus could be a gut health plus. Like I love a kraut or something with the probiotic rich element on the plate that's going to support your gut health. Or that plus could be a favorite food plus, right? Like the bun with your burger, right? Because if that's something you love, we don't want you to take away your bun, right? But it's just about like making sure all of these elements are on your plate will help you do all the things Ali just mentioned. And I think so many times, like, I think what's so great about a formula like that is a lot of us don't eat enough because of ingrained diet culture. And then we're constantly snacking. And again, having these blood sugar spikes and dips. And I know so many people, we work with so many people who won't eat all day, right? They'll restrict all day, either on purpose or by accident. And then at dinner, right? Or in the evenings, it's like you're just starving, right? Emotionally and physically. So this PFF plus really, I think, helps satisfy individuals emotionally and physically, because that plus could be your emotional need. What do you need to add to your plate here for yourself? But let's make sure we have PFF as our primary.
I want to be mindful of both of your time here, but I feel like I could talk to you both indefinitely about this topic, because I feel like I resonate with everything that you're saying. One of the things that comes up on my podcast quite often is this idea of your health is your wealth. And if you invest today for your future, i.e. eating organic foods, quality foods, then you'll live hopefully a non-disease, happier, healthier life. That being said, as you've talked about before, Erica, there are a lot of people out there who struggle financially, and they're like, I want to do all these proper things. I know the importance of it, but I can't afford to eat everything that people are telling me to eat all the time. So if you could even give a couple of maybe like five things that somebody could, maybe they are spending a little bit more money, but you know, it will overall help them. Or maybe these are things that are super inexpensive that people maybe just don't know about, but maybe they can start to implement into their diet to help bring them into a healthier lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great question. We can kind of like spitball. I have one off the bat, which is big for me, and I still use it sometimes, but I know buying organic can be very expensive. One of the ways, if you want to buy organic, but might not be able to afford fresh organic, I would say frozen is like awesome. I mean, if you can buy some of your frozen vegetables, your vegetables frozen, like organic broccoli, you can buy in bags. And the reason, if organic is accessible, listen, vegetables are better than no vegetables, period. I'll start with that. But if organic is accessible to you, but the price point is too much, then I would say go to frozen, because, and if you have accessibility to organic, at least on certain items, it is worth it, because there are a lot of pesticides. Unfortunately, it's horrible, but there just is. And from a hormone health perspective, the less pesticides we can ingest, the better. So frozen organic is a way to cut down that cost. Frozen broccoli, frozen spinach, whatever it might be, frozen berries, if you want to use in a smoothie, they will be less expensive. This is the cool thing from a nutrition standpoint. When they freeze vegetables, they freeze them at their peak nutrient density. So oftentimes, even a frozen vegetable can have more nutrients in it than a fresh vegetable that's been sitting out on the shelves for a while. So if you have access to buying bulk or bags of frozen vegetables, please do that. And you can just steam them. They're not gross in the way that like canned ones are. Sometimes they don't taste gross in the same way. You can put them in smoothies, or you can use them in other ways. This is an awesome part too. They don't go bad. So you're not creating food waste too. So you're not literally throwing money down the garbage if you can't use it within a certain time. So that's my first recommendation. Yeah. Erica, what's one of yours?
Yeah, I was going to say, and the, just to jump off of that before I continue, is the EGW, the environmental, or the EWG, yes. the Environmental Working Group. Has a clean 15 and a dirty dozen. So especially with organic, you don't actually need to buy all of your foods organic, especially like avocados do not need to be organic. If you're on a budget, anything with a hard shell is, when they spray it, the inside is less likely to be contaminated. So the EWG does have a clean 15. And this is something, Allie and I are very, very, very mindful of on our platform, because of course we love all the fun extras, but you don't need any of that to be healthy. Actually, most things are pretty affordable and accessible. So ignore the noise, because I do want to say, as we continue with tips, stress is the worst thing for you. It does not matter, as we've said before, if you eat quote unquote perfectly, if you eat all the organic foods and work out 3 to 5 days a week and, you know, again, do all the things and you are living in chronic stress, you will get sick and you will be unhealthy. And similarly, that's why you see there are people who maybe don't eat the best, but they're like healthier than anybody else. And typically those people have lower stress levels. I know them in my life. To be honest, my dad is one of them. Like all his markers come back so good and he's very good at keeping his stress down. He has a very good, you know, practice for stress. So I will say, like, breathing is free and chewing is free. So regardless of whatever you are eating, if we can get into, and again, we didn't really talk about this, but this is something that I think is really interesting biologically, is like, we can't digest our food when we're in fight or flight. So how many of us are eating when we're stressed out at work, like our lunch, right? It's like, we're stressed out because of our boss, or we just got a crazy email, or we're fighting with our partner or a friend. Our body can't biologically tell the difference between an email stressor and being chased by a tiger in ancient times. Like, your body literally thinks it's under attack. And when your body is under attack or in stress, it's not going to be like, oh, hang on, let me go digest this delicious apple or salad or cheeseburger, whatever it is that you're eating. It can't do it. So a lot of times that also leads to issues like chronic bloating or GERD or all this other stuff, right? That's going on, because our body literally cannot properly digest our food when we're under intense stress. And we've all lived under chronic stress for the last 2 years. So things that are free are, like, before you eat your meal, take a big deep breath in through the nose, out through the mouth. Let's do 3 rounds and then let's eat our plate. Chewing. Digestion actually starts before we even put the food in our mouth. It starts with smell, right? It makes the saliva glands start working. That's literally when digestion is starting. So smell your food. How yummy does it smell? And then, like, eat it, put it in your mouth, and try to chew as much as you can. I'm not going to give anybody a number, because, like, I don't even do the recommended number. It's hard to chew as long as they want us to chew. It's about like 20 times per bite. But I think as long as we're mindfully chewing, digestion is starting in the mouth. The bacteria in our mouth is starting to break down the food and get it ready for digestion. So again, those are free things that we can do regardless of what we're eating, is, I think, having a practice to reduce stress, breathing before breakfast, lunch, and dinner, if we can, and just trying to chew our food a little bit more than we are. Yeah. We'll improve your digestion so much without, regardless of what you're eating.
I am so happy with both of those tips, or all those tips you both gave. I literally just did an Instagram story the other day, because everybody asked me about my nutrition. And I'm like the least knowledgeable person about this, but I had said, buy organic if you can. If you can't, buy it frozen. And then if it has a bigger outer shell, like a watermelon, you're probably okay to not buy organic, because the pesticides it's unlikely that they'll penetrate through. It's those thin skinned fruits and vegetables, like blueberries or I think peaches is one of the worst, or strawberries. But I'm so happy that you reiterated that. And, you know, even not the food wise section, but the idea of just, like, actually enjoying your food and chewing, like, I can't remember. I heard it somewhere, maybe on a podcast, and then it was also brought to my attention in, like, Europe and France and stuff, particularly, like, lunch meal times are like half an hour to an hour long, and they drop everything to go and have food. They don't take their work with them. They sit down, they actually enjoy their meal. Like, it shouldn't take you 5 minutes to eat your dinner. If it is, you're scarfing it down, you're eating it too much. And then I won't really, really dive into this too much, but even within human design, there is an area where it will tell you, like, are you somebody who likes to kind of eat where it's a little bit more quietly, and maybe you enjoy eating it a little bit more when it's like the sun is rising? Or are you somebody like my husband, loves to like play music, or, you know, have a conversation in the morning if he's having breakfast, and I'm like, don't talk to me. I just want to be quiet. Like, I just want to just enjoy my breakfast. Right. So I think it's understanding, like, how do you enjoy your meals? Are you somebody who wants to be around a lot of people and having a conversation? Or do you want to just like enjoy your meal and be quietly contemplating and like just satisfying yourself as you're eating?
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's just like allowing that time and that space for our, to support our digestion.
I feel like I could talk to both of you. I know, you know, we're getting on for time, and I feel like I could have a separate conversation with gut health and hormone health, because I feel like it's so, so important, but I want to be mindful. I would love to know, is there a book, podcast, or resource that has brought both of you a lot of value? It doesn't necessarily have to be nutrition related. It can be, but something that's brought you value that you want to share with the audience.
Oh, so many.
Yeah.
You want to
jump in? Yeah. I mean, I love the microbiome diet, which I mentioned. It's a great read about gut health and how amazing the ecosystem inside of our body is. I'll also mention, since you mentioned human design, there may be people who listen to your podcast who would be interested in this. The Empath Survival Guide is a really fun read for highly sensitive people that I really enjoyed. It has like meditations and it's like an easy read about how to like protect your energy if you are impacted a lot by other people's energy, which I am. And then I'm going to recommend a TV show that I loved, which was Starstruck on HBO Max. It was also on the BBC. It's the best show. It's a romantic comedy TV show, and it brought me so much joy, and not enough people know about it. And so those are my three recommendations.
Oh, amazing. I guess I'll start with a podcast. I probably always give this podcast. It's not ours, although ours is great. I love The Doctor's Pharmacy by Dr. Mark Hyman. It's FARM Pharmacy. He has great guests on. He's also a wealth of knowledge. That's one of my favorite podcasts. I'm reading The Glucose Revolution right now, which is a great resource if you want to learn more about blood sugar balance. And Jessie, she has a French last name that I cannot pronounce. Just look it up. It's called The Glucose Revolution.
And she's really fast, and then it'll just sound accurate.
In Chaspe. Okay. Sorry, Jessie.
She's the glucose goddess on
Instagram. She's the glucose goddess on Instagram. Oh, all my French family is going to be like very, very, disappointed. It's okay. In my lack of ability to pronounce.
I'm from Canada. People are like, you're supposed to be able to speak French. And I'm like, I can't.
Yeah, I can't. I can throw in a little Japanese and a little Italian, and that's it. And then so Glucose Revolution, Dr. Mark Hyman's podcast, The Doctor's Pharmacy. Trying to think what else. You know, what's a fun read, which is not a wellnessy read, but I read it. And it's just a beautiful, fun sort of like memoir, is called The Rural Diaries by Hilary Burton. And she's an actress. And it's like just about her life on moving from LA to getting her own farm in upstate New York. So I just thought that was really fun. And it has like recipes and just like fun aspects of like rural lifestyle. So.
Oh, I love both of, all of those. I literally, as you guys were naming it off, I was like writing it down. Like, I need to check this out. This has been an incredible conversation. I feel like I could have gone longer, maybe like a part two. We'll have to see about that.
We'd love that.
If people want to check both of you out, if they want to listen to your podcast, where can everybody go and find you both?
Yeah. We are courageouswellness.net. is our website. We are at Courageous Wellness on Instagram, and the Courageous Wellness podcast is released every single Wednesday on all podcast platforms. We've released over 200 episodes on pretty much every topic. So you can find something that you like. And yeah, DMs are hard. A lot gets lost in the DMs. So if you do want to reach out, you can send us an email, and all that's on the website.
Perfect. Thank you both so much for coming on the show and sharing your journey and your knowledge about all things integrative health.
Thank you so much for having us. It was a pleasure.
If you love this podcast episode, spread the love by sharing this with your friends and family, share it out on social media, and don't forget to give it a 5-star rating and review. From the bottom of my heart, I am so grateful that you are here. Until next time.